Today we also have verses from Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. As we come offering ourselves, we ask that you would put your Spirit inside of us. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, what does it mean to you when you hear the term living sacrifice? Like with the kids, have you ever thought about that offering plate going by and you just jump right in? I think of making sacrifices. I think of giving of time and energy and resources to, like, our kids or our parents. I think of people who are willing to give up what they have or even their lives for the faith, for our country. What comes to your mind? Because Paul is saying that to present ourselves as a living sacrifice is our worship, which to me sounds like more than just coming to church and sitting in a chair, right? Being a living sacrifice is so much more, isn't it? I love the translation of these verses in the Message Bible. Here's what that says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. I love that. It's like when you take your whole self, your whole life, every part of it, and you just give it to God. That's what a sacrifice is. What does it mean to give this way to God? Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But that word in the original Greek, soma, it doesn't just mean your flesh, body. It means everything about you. It means your feelings, your thinking, your actions. It's the whole deal. And how are we supposed to do that? Because that's a pretty tall order, right? Paul says it's by the mercies of God. The Message translation says, with God helping you. In other words, we can't do it on our own. We have to rely on God's grace. We have to ask for God's help. So think about this. We're called to give our whole lives to God as an act of worship, but that is a different way of looking at worship, isn't it? Don't most of us come to worship thinking about what we can get from worship? How it will help us, how it will bless us, how we will receive the gifts of God? But I wonder, how do we truly receive God's gifts? Could it be by offering ourselves back to God? It's kind of like the old adage about it being better to give than to receive. What if that's really true in worship? Think about this. Don't you receive so much more when you truly are willing to give your whole voice to the music, your whole heart to the prayers, your whole attention to the message, your whole self to the people all around you. That's when we receive God's gifts, isn't it? Paul says here in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are all members of one body of Christ. And we each have a part to play. We each have this part in the body, and we have gifts that are different. But I wonder, do you think about your gifts when you come here on Sunday morning? Do you think about your gifts when you walk inside this church? Do you think about how you have a part to play and you have something to give as a living sacrifice? Why would that be so important? I wonder if it's because, well, we're children of God. We're made in the image of God. God is the ultimate giver, and so doesn't it make sense that we are asked to give? Could it be that giving is when we find ourselves in the presence of God? And if that's true, it's very countercultural, isn't it? I mean, what are we surrounded by every day? Messages about getting, about taking, about wanting or deserving more and more and more. Isn't it rare that you hear something out in the world that encourages you to just give? Just give sacrificially. So how do we go from these takers out there to givers as people of God? Paul says we need a transformation. Paul says we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So what does that mean to you? When I hear that, I think, I can't do that. I don't know how to renew my mind and transform myself. I think God has to do that for us. I think it's got to be Jesus who renews our minds, because they get pretty junked up in the world out there. In the Greek, the word for mind that Paul uses, it's more than just your brain. It's your reasoning, your soul, your thoughts, your feelings, everything inside of you. And in the Bible, we have some incredible examples of this kind of transformation. One is in the life of Paul. Do you remember Paul's story, the story of Paul's life? His name was Saul, and he was a lead persecutor of Christians. He would even go with people door to door looking for Christians to persecute them, throw them in jail. And one day on the road to Damascus, his whole life changed because this light from heaven just blinded him. And he heard this voice. It was the voice of Jesus saying, "Why? Why are you persecuting me?" This blind man was led into the city, and a Christian there named Ananias had his own vision from God. And God told Ananias, "I want you to go help Saul." And he said, "No, not him. He's the one persecuting us. Are you sure?" And God said, "Yes, he is an instrument that I have chosen to bring my name to the world." So Ananias went, laid hands upon Saul, restored his sight, baptized him as a Christian. And from that moment on, Saul was known as Paul, and he was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. Talk about being transformed into a living sacrifice. When I hear that story, I realize that if Paul could become an instrument of God, any of us can become an instrument of God. And only God knows what amazing things are going to happen through us if we are willing to be transformed, to be living sacrifices. If you read a lot of the letters of the New Testament of Paul, you start to see that there's just this choice in life. We have a choice. We can either live for ourselves, which is the way of the world or the way of the flesh, or we can live for God, which is the way of Jesus, the way of the Spirit. Now, how do we know if we're living this way of Jesus? Paul would say it's when we are giving of ourselves to God. The way of the world is to be a taker. The way of a Christian is to be a giver. because our God is the ultimate giver. You know, that's really what that word stewardship means. We hear it every fall and we think about it just meaning you give your money. But it's so much more. It's really the idea that everything we have is a gift from God. And we are just asked to take care of those gifts. We're just asked to be good stewards, caretakers of the gifts that we have received. Now, that's totally different from the world over here that says, you earned it, you deserve it, you keep it. The Bible says again and again, no, it's all God's and it's all a gift. You're just entrusted with its care. Think about it this way. What if you looked at everything you ever give? Your time, your talent, every last dime of your money, and you asked yourself, is this helping the kingdom of God? Is this for God's glory? Or mine? Is this me being a living sacrifice? Because every little choice we make of everything we ever give leads to something bigger. There's a great example of this from the life of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa used to say that she's just a pencil in the hands of God. Pastor and writer Shane Claiborne went to live with Mother Teresa in Calcutta for a while. He says, people often ask me what Mother Teresa was like. Sometimes it's like they expected her to glow in the dark or have a halo around her head. He said, really, she was short and wrinkled and precious, like a little old granny, a little bit ornery too. He says, one thing I will never forget, though, is her feet. Her feet are deformed. Each morning in Mass, I would stare at them, and I wondered if she had contracted leprosy, but I didn't want to ask, of course. So one day, one of the sisters said to us, have you noticed her feet? We all said, yes. She said, her feet are deformed because we get these donations of used shoes, and we only get enough pair for all of the sisters here. And Mother doesn't want anyone to get stuck with the worst pair, so she digs through them first, finds that pair, and that's what she wears. That's why her feet are deformed, because she's loving the others. Because she's a living sacrifice. That's humbling to me. You know, even very secular people understand these two options you have in life. You live for yourself or you live for others. Yourself or something greater. I remember reading two quotes with these two different worldviews. And in the first quote, a very famous actor argued this. He said, you know what? I'm a fan of the word selfish. Selfish. When I say I have gotten more selfish, I mean I'm less concerned with what people think of me and more concerned with me. Selfish has a bad rap. You should do for you. A few pages later in the same magazine was a quote from George Saunders, a man named Life Coach of the Year, and this is what he said. He said, I think the big kahuna of all moral questions, as far as I'm concerned, is your ego. How do you correct the fundamental misperception that we are all born with, namely this idea that I am central? He said, I think all the nasty stuff in this life comes from that misunderstanding. It's kind of what it boils down to. Are you going to live for you or something greater? Someone greater. I believe it's a choice we're faced with all the time. I think it's something we have to think about when we're giving of our time, our talent, our money. I think we have to ask ourselves, are we giving to God first and foremost, Are we trying to be a living sacrifice? Are we thinking about all the little bitty choices that we make that seem so insignificant, and yet all those little bitty choices lead to something greater? Just like Mother Teresa going through the shoes led her feet to where they were. Where are our choices leading us? Are we finding real life by being living sacrifices? Do you remember what the back of your bulletin says? You can look at it if you want. Do you notice what it says about every single person in this whole room? It says that we are all ministers. Now, some churches reserve that title for people that are ordained, but not Presbyterians. We believe that all of the body of Christ are ministers because we all have gifts to give. All of us, every single one of us, a minister. 1 Peter 2:9 says something about this. It says, "You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into light." We strongly believe in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that we are all members of one body of Christ. We all have this part to play, each of us giving to the family of faith. So the question today is, how? How are you doing that? How are you ministering here? What are your gifts here and in the community? How are you giving to the community? One thing I love about this, Miss Susan calls it the mighty little church. One thing I love about our mighty little church is that there are so many people giving so many things. Just think about all the gifts that we had just this morning. A young person as an acolyte. We have a praise and worship team. We had ushers and greeters. We have a liturgist. We have banners made by one of our own members. We have so many gifts. I could go on and on. We all have these things that we can offer. And it's in our giving that we enter that presence of God. The question is, are we willing to do it? And are we willing to give all of ourselves, our whole self, just like climbing into that offering plate? There's an African fable that I love about a little boy that loved his marbles. He loved to play with marbles, and he had this one shiny blue marble that was his absolute favorite. But one day, he passed by a young girl that had a box of chocolates. And he decided he wanted some of those chocolates. So he offered to trade her his marbles for her box of chocolates. But first, he put his hand in his pocket and felt of that shiny blue marble and pushed it to the bottom of his pocket and pulled out all the rest of the marbles and handed them over to the girl. He got her box of chocolates, and he actually, when walking away, turned back and looked at her and said, "Did you really give me all of your chocolate?" Being a living sacrifice means giving all of it, all the marbles. Think about what that means. But Paul says we can do this by the grace of God as a living sacrifice. And when we do it, lives are changed, especially ours. I love what William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said at the end of his life. He said, "God had all there was of me. Sure, there were people with better plans, better opportunities, but from the day I got a vision of what God could do, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth." Does God have all of us? I once read that in the end of World War I, Herbert Hoover, later to become President of the United States, led the Allied relief efforts in Europe. He kept hundreds of thousands of people from starving. And a new word entered the Finnish language because of him. The word in Finland, to Hoover, means to be kind, to help, to offer to someone else. And it got me thinking, what if someone coined a phrase from my name, from your name? What would your word be? I've always loved Winston Churchill saying, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. Is there any better way to know how we're doing in our walk with God than by the way we give? How are we giving? What does it say about our relationship with Jesus? Paul never saw that being a Christian meant being on a membership role somewhere. It was always about this growing relationship with Christ. And I believe that's why he emphasized being a living sacrifice, because in giving, we find life. In giving, we find love. In giving, we find Jesus. And isn't that what we all want? Friends, believe the good news of the gospel today. By the grace of God, we can be living sacrifices. Because our God is a giver, we can be too. And to that, all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35.